in the back. I see a nod. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm Miranda Luna. This is Elio DiMaggio. We're both on the Azure Mobile team. Today, we're going to try to give you something that we don't usually do in sessions, so definitely give us your feedback and let us know how it goes. During Tech Ed, we've had two other deep dives. We had one deep dive on mobile LOB apps, and that was something that Kirill and Matthew delivered yesterday that's available on demand. And then there's also a deep dive on notification hubs tomorrow, but we wanted to kind of have a session where we gave kind of that top-level overview end-to-end of where the investment areas are, what's the latest thing that comes out so that you're up to speed going into those sessions and can actually appreciate and understand the demos. So we're going to kick it off by just looking at what are the latest updates that have come out in mobile services, walk you through some of the benefits associated with those, where are we investing, and then we'll switch over to notification hubs, and we'll kind of run through the same thing point by point on the bigger investments we've made. And we'll definitely handle questions and resources, but hopefully from this session you'll leave understanding, what you'll see next from mobile service and notification hubs, how it kind of works for that end-to-end mobile story, and you'll be able to go into those more demo-intensive sessions, really understanding exactly what you're seeing and being able to kind of run out of there with something you can work on. So to start with mobile services, you may have noticed that we've made a huge investment in the last year. We've made investment in serving organizational scenarios. So organizational scenarios both for consumers of and customers of an organization and also for employees. And with that pivot, originally we started out, we were Node.js backend only. We were really pivoted on social login, push notifications that were really simple, but maybe didn't serve all the enterprise scenarios around security. But what we did this year is we really pivoted to say, okay, what are the needs of an organization that needs to serve consumers on mobile devices, but also needs to serve employees on mobile devices? And that's kind of what you see a lot of these updates mapping to. Things like a .NET backend, making it really, that's pretty much just web API on the server, so it's really easy to move what you have to a mobile application. Also makes it a lot easier to work with heterogeneous data sources. Hybrid connections, which was announced yesterday, makes it really easy to kind of have that point-to-point consumption between an on-prem database or system and a website or mobile services app. We'll talk a little bit about that, but I'm just going to flag that there was a great session on that yesterday that's available on demand. Definitely check it out. Offline sync, we'll take a couple minutes to talk about that. I mean, occasionally connected scenarios are very important, and kind of maintaining data integrity and being able to customize how you handle conflicts that arise when multiple devices are trying to modify the same entity when they're offline and then they come back online. We wanted to kind of serve those scenarios and give you something you could also customize or swap out for something else if you prefer something like Breeze.js, have at. Okay, and continue to invest in our partners with Xamarin so you can build native mobile, native iOS and Android apps in C Sharp. And, again, there'll be a notification hubs component coming out for that that Elio will talk to a little bit more. Active Directory authentication through Azure Active Directory so that you can use your corporate credentials to serve those employee scenarios. Tighter integration with Visual Studio. Definitely wanted to invest there, especially as we opened up the .NET backend. API management, which was also announced yesterday, kind of completes the story. Doesn't complete, but it puts another piece of the puzzle together in terms of we had a really great story for building and hosting APIs, but in terms of publishing and managing access, that's really why we want to invest in API management. And of course, those of you who are familiar with mobile services know that you can have a custom API there that you might want to let somebody else use in a different application or in a different. So API management comes in there for sure. And notification hubs, we have a tighter integration that Elio will go through. Not only do you get one unit of notification hubs with your mobile service now, but it's also very easy to get started. And we've replaced our push engine with actually our original mobile services push engine with notification hubs, really making it a lot easier for you to, achieve that high latency, high volume, low latency mobile push notifications. Whether that's one-to-one, whether that's multicast, whether that's broadcast to everybody, really giving you the tools to do that, not just to serve your customers and employees, but also do it securely. So we're going to start by going over Active Directory authentication. So this is really important, obviously, for mobile services for a couple of reasons. I mean, first, of course, you want to be able to log on with corporate credentials, right? Anyone who has an employee-facing app wants to be able to let people log on with their through credentials they have set up through their AD tenant or through O365. But again, the other thing that this really introduces is the notion of a user, an AD user in mobile services. So think about scenarios where you want to send push notifications to a single user or to security groups in AD, We handle all that mapping for you out of the box, which is great because you're not maintaining all that yourself. So those are two really important benefits to come from this, this turnkey service we've provided. And of course, you can use Active Directory regardless of if you're going with the Node backend or the .NET backend. Just to quickly walk through kind of how that works, it's all based on ADOL. Vittorio has a lot of great sessions, both from Build and Tech Ed, that will kind of dive deep into that. But at a high level, this is really what's going to enable that single sign-on on pretty much any client platform that matters. So essentially, what you're going to be doing is requesting two tokens. From your mobile service will need to request two tokens so that you can use Active Directory to log in. One of them is an access token. The other one is a refresh token. So once the access token expires, you can just write a little handler to refresh it. The code is actually in the deck. If you guys want to download it, we have a lot of code slides that you can take and just plug and chug. But we figured it would probably be better to just give you the end-to-end view and let you grab the snippets when you'd like. If you were at Build, you probably also noticed that we did a demo. Yavor did a great demo on how to access resources like from SharePoint, from a mobile service that somebody's authenticated using Active Directory. It's a really similar flow to what we covered on the previous slide. You're just basically requesting two sets of those pairs of tokens. The reason being that, you know, the SharePoint needs access to Active Directory or SharePoint or whatever other resource you want to use, but your mobile service does as well. Cruising on to the .NET backend, basically this provides, just like those of you who might have been familiar with the original Node option, which is still definitely available and being invested in. We're going to maintain feature parity across both of them. But it's basically a really easy backend for your consumer or employee-facing app in minutes. And you get all your backend logic via .NET Web API. You know, we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. We didn't want to do anything unexpected. Where possible, we defaulted to what we know you guys already know. And then, of course, with that backend comes some really cool capabilities, like an easy way to work with heterogeneous data sources, AD, which we just covered, and support for occasionally connected scenarios with offline sync, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. You, of course, get local debugging, that flexible data model we mentioned, and there are client SDKs available for all the major platforms. You know, you might be familiar that we had PhoneGap and Xamarin last year, but now we added Censure recently, so we're really trying to invest in the places where you guys give us feedback that we need to add support. So please keep that coming in. Keep it coming in through user voice. Keep it coming in on Twitter. Keep it coming in through email. We actually do read them. I read them all the time. And we do factor that into planning. Integration with on-prem systems. We talked about hybrid connections, and we'll take a closer look at that. But the most important thing to keep in mind as we kind of walk through the next couple slides is that the real benefit you're getting here is that we're managing, running, and monitoring your backend for you. You know, we talk a lot, I think, about how mobile services really gets you up and running quickly and how it'll accelerate mobile app development. It's really easy to add that mobility layer, et cetera, et cetera. But there's really some ongoing management value that you get as well. So I'm going to make sure that we talk about that too, so you understand kind of like, why would I use a mobile service versus just web API? Like, what's the added value that I'm getting there, and what can I expect? So to kind of talk about that first point, just take a look at this slide. What you're seeing on the left is basically this sort of a similar flow to what you'd get with like a website, right? You're ending up storing your binaries in a folder. You know, you can hit publish, but what you're getting with mobile services that's different is kind of three different benefits. One being the fact that when you're using our runtime, we can service all the underlying packages without having to restart your individual app. So, you know, we obviously are reliant upon a couple different NuGet packages. If anything happens there, we can service our runtime without having to restart any of your services, which is really convenient. And again, not only would you have to service your own runtime if you were doing this all yourself, but you'd have to perform a restart. The second piece of value you get is that we're constantly not just looking at your emails and your tweets, but we are constantly getting a lot of analytics in on terms of service and service health and performance. And, you know, we monitor that, troubleshoot ahead of time. So most of the time, you don't even notice when we've done something to troubleshoot something that could have come and affected you ahead of time. And then, of course, we only contact you in terms of making sure you make adjustments if we're sure that it's an error in your own logic rather than our runtime. The third being that we can actually inject some strings in there for you. We do that with notification hubs. We do that with SQL connection strings. So we can handle a lot of that wiring without you having to ever think about it. In terms of data access and what the .NET backend opens, there's a couple things to think through. So there is, oh, this is an old version of the slide because that should say domain manager. So there's a couple different scenarios to think through. One being greenfield development, you know, a net new application. So there are different frameworks for each of those data sources. Obviously, Entity for SQL. We have one for Mongo. Basically, you just have that data transfer object, and in a greenfield scenario, it's going to go in between your data source and the client, passing through mobile services. Nothing complicated, and it's just going to be a really simple thing to manage. Something that's a little bit more interesting, and probably more relevant to a lot of the scenarios you're facing, is, you know, what do you do when you have an existing data source, right? What do you do when you have an existing data source, whether that's SQL database, whether that's SQL Server in a VM, whether that's on-prem, whether it's Mongo? You know, how do we handle those scenarios where you don't want to change your model, you already have a structure, there's probably other applications dependent upon it, and that's something that we really care about. We don't want you to have to change that. So if you'll take a look at this slide, kind of starting from the right, you'll see that, you know, we keep your existing model, and then we have an auto mapper that goes to that DTO object, and that DTO is what goes in between the device and the mobile service. But it's your existing model that goes between the mobile service and your existing data. And there is definitely a great demo of that if you want to go look at Matthew and Kirill's session from yesterday online or the Build keynote. They go through all this pretty in-depth, but we wanted to just kind of make sure that you understand that there's really nothing we're asking you to change here. Offline support is definitely something that we invested in. It was our number one request for a very, very long time right after .NET backend, so definitely somewhere we invested. We took an approach that was more of a let's support a higher percentage of scenarios that applications will face that are primarily disconnected. Applications that are disconnected and then get connectivity occasionally, rather than those that are pretty much always connected but lose connectivity occasionally. So we chose to serve the former scenarios, and we'll duck into this a little bit more. But basically, what you're going to see is that we ask you to make explicit pulls and pushes per some rules we have set up. We allow you to kind of customize your conflict resolution. You can either define rules for doing that, especially if multiple users on different devices are trying to modify the same entity, or you can even just have it. You can even set it up so that the user can decide how to handle conflicts if they want. And the way we kind of accomplish that, in terms of local data stores, SQLite on the device, and then of course you can use any sort of data you'd like in the cloud associated with your mobile service. So when I talk about local and remote, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So again, it's a pretty simple scenario. We wanted to make this serve the base case of scenarios and let you kind of expand if you wanted to. If you had something more custom or complicated, I'm not sure if a lot of you are familiar with the app Vesper from John Gruber and Brent Simmons, but they really wanted to make sure they had a fine-tuned offline sync specific to their app usage patterns and scenarios. So they actually built their own offline support instead of using ours out of the box. So, you know, with what we offer you, you can always take what we have, you can extend it, you can use your own. But in what we provide you. Obviously, you can push changes from the local data store to the mobile service. You can pull them. We give you SQLite out of the box. Yeah, we'll post the updated slides, don't worry. And then the offline methods are pretty much these three, right? There's push async, and it is executed on the whole context, not on specific tables. And the reason is that we want to support relationships between entities on the client side. If you think about a scenario where you might have like an order and an order item table, you can insert an item in the first table and have the ID of that entity, and then insert children items with the appropriate foreign key, and you can maintain that mapping without having to do anything in terms of additional logic. For pull async, you can do that either for all or a subset of items from a remote table. Usually, you're not going to pull all of the items if you have any significant amount of data, but for simple scenarios, you might want to. So, of course, either are supported. And you know, the first rule of our offline is that any pull triggers a push, and that's just to make sure that there isn't data inconsistency. So anytime you're trying to pull data from a remote table, we're first going to check to make sure anything that's queued up for synchronization has already been pushed up and reconciled, and we're going to provide that out of the box. And if you download the slides again, there are snippets that you can take and use today. For purge, again, that's when you just want to kind of clear the local cache to update the data. If you think about our Canonical to-do item app, everybody's favorite sample, probably the most popular app that we have running. I can't tell you how many apps are named like to-do1.mobileservice. But that's okay. So if you think of that example, you know, if an item's been completed, you probably don't want to save that information on the local data store. You really just want to display the items that aren't marked as complete that people actually care about and that they would actually see in the app UI. So you probably would want to use a purge there. And just like pull, a purge triggers a push. So again, making sure that there's no inconsistency and that everything is actually saved on your remote table before you actually remove anything from your local store. So in terms of handling offline conflicts, I did unhide one code snippet because I thought this would be helpful. Hopefully this is big enough for you to see, but I'll talk through it a little bit. So this is just kind of showing what basically, this is one way to handle conflicts that arise in offline scenarios. So if you have an item updated in a remote table, but then you'll see that the attempt to push fit to the local table actually fails because the versioning doesn't match, and that's something that comes out of our optimistic concurrency. And then what you're going to see is a mobile service push failed exception thrown. So we definitely have a lot of rich error handling that you can use to actually understand what's going on when things go wrong. And like I mentioned before, you can, of course, catch and deal with sync conflicts on the client. You can control all your sync operations by implementing a handler interface and then passing it when you're initializing the context. And then we talked about conflict resolution policy where the user actually gets to choose what they keep and what goes. Again, you want to rely on optimistic concurrency there, and again, that's something we released before offline sync that prevents two clients from overriding modifications to the same row. So the way you do that is you obviously need a version so that can be tracked on our site. Moving right along to hybrid connections, this is a new service that was announced yesterday. So hybrid connections is really intended. The core scenarios we looked at were for mobile and web, right? You have some data on-prem, you want to be able to access it, you don't want to set up a WCF service, you don't want to use Service Bus Relay, you just really want to say, open port 1433 here, open port 1433 here, and pipe my information through, don't save anything to the cloud, make sure I can maintain the integrity of my data, but allow my users to access it through a web or mobile application. And, you know, again, there was a great session on that yesterday, I highly recommend checking it out. But what's so great about this is that, you know, in mobile scenarios, in particular, if you start to think about, well, okay, I have maybe some CRM data and I want to be able to, every time something's new is added, I want to be able to push a notification to the relevant employee. Well, now you kind of see how this story's starting to come together, right? Because we make it really easy for you to access that data from a mobile service using hybrid connections. They've authenticated with Active Directory, so that mapping for push is really easy. And you're never actually saving anything to the cloud that you might want to keep on-prem that might be sensitive, customer data, things like that. And I do want to flag that, you know, it's not just SQL that's supported. Pretty much anything with a static TCP endpoint is going to work, even if that's a custom web service. API management was a big announcement from yesterday that I'm sure a lot of you saw. There's going to be a couple great sessions that I want to flag from Josh Twist tomorrow, I believe, and then from Vlad and Anton on Thursday. You're going to have to wake up kind of early for theirs. It's at 8:30. I'm going to be watching online. But it's out of an acquisition we had back in fall 2013, and that was a company called Epiphany. So if you think about kind of where the value of API management comes in and how this kind of makes our story a little bit more complete, again, we had the great build and host API story in terms of websites, in terms of mobile services. But then, you know, we were getting a lot of feedback that we were missing that kind of last mile. You know, how do I actually either take APIs I have as an organization online already or that I've built in Azure, and how do I publish those to internal developers, external developers, and not just publish them, but actually get some information, maybe add some transformations, et cetera. So at a high level, the way this is going to work is, you know, as an API publisher or admin, you come into the admin portal, and you configure the proxy to work with your application backend. And that backend, just like in notification hubs, can be hosted anywhere, on-prem or in the cloud, and you're off and running. That's admin portals where you're going to set all the policies, right? Policies can be caching, they can be throttles, they can be transformations. If you basically anything, we'll cover a few of them, but that's where you're going to kind of configure everything you want. You can package multiple APIs into a single product so that you can have different tiers. You can customize the developer portal that people are going to come to. So then, you know, after you've kind of set all that up, developers come right into the portal. They self-service registration. And then we have this really great interactive console that not just kind of gives them the little snippets they need to incorporate in their application, whether that's, you know, Ruby, PHP, Objective-C, .NET. But we also have a great interactive console where they can actually make that first call from within it. So when you think about kind of how do you grow your API program, it's really minimizing that time to first successful call. And that interactive console gives you the tools for that. So we're really making investments in across mobile to kind of cover every end of the story, from how do you start leveraging your on-prem data in mobile applications to how do you take it the next step and kind of grow it, turn it into a platform, monetize your digital assets, things like that. So after developers can come in and configure their app to connect to your API proxy, and that's how they're going to actually gain consume those services within their other applications. You saw that Wellmark was one of our private preview customers, which was awesome. They have a Finder service that Josh demoed in the keynote that basically lets developers, both internal and external to Wellmark, build in a way to find providers, to find urgent care, to find hospitals, etc. Blue Garden is a Scandinavian country that does a lot of HR software. So instead of them wanting to kind of, you know, reach new, distribute their content through new channels, kind of the way Wellmark was, Blue Garden really wanted to go more in the, hey, we want to think of our product as a platform and let our customers customize it however they want and do a lot of their own adjustments. So they want to actually expose APIs for things like their expenses system, the way they handle payroll, things like that. A lot of great features in API management, and again, casual plug for Josh's section. You know, adaptation of APIs is really important. You want to change formats, you want to support different protocols. You want to make it really easy to for developers to discover those APIs, get those packages of them, self-register. But at the same time, you also have to think about protection. So again, authorizing. You can, of course, either say everybody can register to access these APIs, only people with these set of credentials, or only people who I approve after they apply for access. We give you kind of a full range of options out of the box. And of course, you can make sure that only certain groups have access to certain APIs, because certainly you wouldn't want everybody, an external developer maybe had the same access to every API that an internal one does. And we give you the tools you need to understand actually how those developers are using your APIs in terms of usage, health, latency, activity trends, etc. And then moving forward, of course, lifecycle versioning and monitoring are critical. So I'll come back at the end to kind of wrap us up, but I'm going to hand it over to Elio to talk about the investments we've made in notification hubs along similar lines.
Okay, now we're going to do a little change of pace. We're going to talk about push notifications and notification hubs. This is a different service than mobile services and API management. First of all, a little show of hands. How many people are familiar with push notifications?
Everyone.
Great. How many people are familiar with notification hubs? Okay. So basically, notification hubs is an Azure service that specifically deals with push notifications, with mobile push notifications. And it can be used from anywhere. And here we're going to see, like, we're going to start with what we added. We added Kindle support. That's in addition to, of course, the Windows platforms, iOS, and Android. We added tag expressions, for people not familiar with it, is a way to do very specific routing on your devices and your audience. We added integration with Visual Studio. So if you download the latest update of Visual Studio 2013, you can send debug messages, debug notifications directly from your Visual Studio project. We added integration with mobile services that makes it really easy to use notification hubs from mobile services, and it also makes it very easy to implement specific scenarios for your push notification needs. And we changed our pricing. We have lots of feedback from you guys on the pricing for notification hubs. We used to consider the number of devices in your app in our pricing. We're now completely push-based, so we only charge depending on the number of pushes that you send. And we're also recently delivered bulk registration management if you really have like complex scenarios with your devices. You want to perform part of device management on your back end. This is basically something that you would want to have. We also added Xamarin support, like Miranda was saying. If you're coding iOS and Android apps with Xamarin, we now have support in with a Xamarin component, so you can really have code all the major platforms with C# and .NET. So these are the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to start with a little push 101. Many people know push notifications already, so I'm going to really go very quick on it. And let's start on push. So mobile push is really everywhere. People know this from the little toasts in your Windows platforms and the things that come up in your notification center for iOS and Android. But actually, you can do a lot more things with that, with those things. Usually, some scenarios are of course like breaking news. You have your, I don't know, like CNN, NBC apps that tells you what has been going on. In consumer-facing apps for the financial industries, so banking and insurances, they're usually used for as SMS replacement, and also for employee-facing apps for back office kind of information. In healthcare, you usually get reminded of your prescriptions and all these sort of things. There are like many, many scenarios where push notifications really make slicker and responsive user experience for people, for the users of your mobile apps. And there are like really, really many other scenarios. What is the life cycle of a push notification? This is how every mobile push notification works. What happens is that your mobile app has to request a device token in case of iOS, a channel URI in case of Windows platforms from the platform notification service. Those are services that are platform specific and that basically handle the last mile of the push notifications. After you have this specific device handle, you basically have to store it somewhere, and you have to store it inside your app backend. This is because when you want to send a notification to that specific device, you basically have to retrieve this this handle, device token, or channel URI, or registration IDs, or whatever the specific platform is using, and use it to address that specific device. The problem is that those channel URIs and device tokens are transient. So they're not like an email address, and they're permanent, and you have like a nice address for that specific device. They're basically transient, they expire, they have to be maintained for many reasons. This basically means that what happens is that you have to keep these device handles, basically your big yellow pages of who's who in your backend, up to date. And this is because these tokens can expire, and also they can also change. So what happens is that this little circle of acquiring the device token and storing in your backend and maintaining the expired one has to happen every time your app starts. So it's really, really lots of work to keep your big registry of devices up to date and ready for when you actually want to send a push notification. So the challenges are many. The first is actually platform dependency. While the life cycle is effectively the same for all the various platforms, there are actually many differences on when token expires, how they have to be maintained, and so on and so forth. Also, the kind of notifications that you can send are different. So every platform is really its own little system. The second one is, of course, routing. You have to maintain the registry of all these devices. This is usually something that very few people do. When you have an app, like especially if you come from a web app world, you never had to do device management. So you had a notion of user. You would have like thousands of users, but each user was free effectively to access your web application from any device that he had, and you didn't have to record anything for that. In the world of mobile apps, this is basically what they force you to do. They have to, you will have to remember, if you're not using notification hubs, that a certain user is accessing your app from a Surface and an iPhone and a Galaxy Tab. You actually have to remember all the devices that a certain user is using. That is a lot of work, and is usually very far from the business value that you actually want to deliver. And of course, scale. Mobile apps can quickly have like tens of millions of users. And when that happens, you have a lot of device tokens and registration IDs to take care of. And it's also hard to basically send one notification that hits many, many devices with low latency. So when you use notification hubs, we give you a cross-platform notifications engine. You can use notification hubs from any backend, on the cloud, on-prem, it doesn't matter, and any, of course, language. We're completely REST-based, and we provide SDKs for all the major languages. It doesn't matter if your backend is PHP, Java, .NET, of course, Node, and so on. And we support all the major mobile platforms. We support Microsoft platforms, iOS, Android, and Kindle Fire. And the advantages for this is that when there will be new platforms coming out, we're gonna support them, and it's easier than it seems. The next thing is effectively the fact that the Notification Hubs handles the devices for you. So we do maintain the big registry of who's using what device and all the device tokens and registration IDs. We make sure that we expire them when we have to, so that your service is not blacklisted by the Apple notification service, for instance. We make sure that all those things are handled as each platform requires them to be handled. We do have routing and interest groups. We do support the notion of tags that we're going to see in a little bit. You can basically tag all your devices with these labels, and then you can target them. These tags are very, very freeform. You can use them for interest groups, for user IDs, for things that span like millions of users or a single device of a specific user. We do support personalization and localization. We allow you to have a completely platform in independent backend. You do not have to remember that a certain user is using iPhone, and then you need to send the payload in a certain form, because we're going to take care of that. We also provide support for personalization and localization, which allows you to not remember which preferences this user is having for your mobile app. And this really maintains all the presentation in your mobile app layer and not like creeping up into your backend. Of course, we support broadcast at scale. Like Miranda was saying, you can blast the same notifications to tens of millions of devices with one single API calls. And in the same way, you can basically target a single user. And of course, we support rich telemetry and everything that you expect to effectively monitor and deploy this system. So how does this work? Is that you create one notification hub, and your devices, instead of registering in your own backend, they register in your notification hub. What happens then is that this, of course, happens with all the various platform notification services, and you see that there are already a lot. When you send one notification, your backend sends one single API call to the notification hub, which then routes the messages to the correct platform notification service. You do not have to know if a device uses Apple notification services or Amazon device messaging. These are some snippets. They're just here, like to prove the point that is really, really easy. This is the call that you use to actually register to the hub a specific channel URI. The same thing in iOS and for Android and Kindle. Once you've registered, you can just broadcast a message by sending one notification with a single API call. how do you target specific users? We already said that we use this notion of tags. What happens is that the devices, when they register, they do specify a set of tags. So in this case, it's their interest groups. So these devices are interested in following updates for the Wailers and the Beatles. And then what happens is that your app backend then is targeting a certain audience by referring to a specific tags. You can use tags effectively for anything that you care about. You do not have to pre-create them. People that maybe might be familiar with Amazon notification service, where you have to pre-create a specific interest group, you have to delete them. There's nothing of that here. You can use tags for things that are very transient. You might have like a game app or like something that is going to last just a couple of days. You can create a tag of game ID something and subscribe all the people that are following that game. When the game is over, you're just going to stop sending notifications and everything will work. When you add tags, is exactly the same call as before. You just add the tags, all the platforms, of course. And of course, we do support tag expressions. So not only you can target a single tag, but you can target Boolean expressions of tags. So you can say, everybody that's in my group except me. Or you can basically have people following many players and teams. You can basically send an aura message making sure that people that are subscribing for all the players that were involved in the action are still only receiving one notification. You can basically make sure to send notification only at specific times by encoding the time zone as a tag. You can use it for versioning. You might have make sure that people on your 1.0 version on Android are actually updating, and you do not want to spam everybody. We have a couple of case studies. We actually have more than a couple. These are the ones that we're going to talk in these specific slides. One is the Bing apps. These are the apps that are pre-installed on all Windows devices and Windows phones. News apps, finance, sports, they all use notification hubs to power their push notifications. They have like tens of millions of active devices that we are serving. They send many millions of notifications per day, and they're usually one single broadcast. So when there is a breaking news, they send one news to 3 million people that is usually delivered in under 2 minutes on everybody, to everybody that is targeted. This is very hard to do if you have to build your own notification engine in your backend. You need to have like parallel VMs that are only pushing things. You need to have like a specific data structure to retrieve all the channel URIs and device tokens. It's really not a trivial undertaking. We also powered the Winter Olympics result apps that had hundreds of interest groups. They, of course, use tags to target people based on what disciplines they wanted to follow, the athletes, the countries, and they were able to send very personalized notifications experience where you would get updates only on the things that were of interest to you. There were also localized notifications. Notification Hub took care of knowing which language each device wanted to receive, so that basically the backend was just sending all the various languages that were supported and not having to remember which device was set with what language. There were more than 3 million devices, and in all the Olympics, they sent more than 150 million notifications in a 2 week period. These are a couple of screenshots of the Sochi apps, and those were of course these were of course a cross-platform app. Again, with their use of the template notification hubs feature, they were able not to have specific payloads in their backend. They didn't have to remember which device was an iPhone and which device was a Windows phone. We took care of all those things for them. So we already said that you can use notification hubs from any backend. Now, how do you use notification hubs from mobile services? we basically build a new push engine for mobile services that is based on notification hubs. It is actually notification hubs. What happens is that you get access right away from your mobile service to broadcast at scale, pushing to user and interest groups and tagging and localization. You do not have to code those things in your mobile services on your own anymore. For people that did that in the past, they will basically remember this channel stable, where basically you would maintain all the device informations in order to be able to send push notifications. Of course, with notification hubs, you do not have to do that anymore. One unit of notification hubs is included for free for any paid instance of mobile services. So basically, you do get notification hubs for free when you buy mobile services. And it's, of course, available for both the Node backends and the .NET backends. We maintain the same notification hub surface. It's really very easy. From your device, you basically call the same register method from the push object, and from your scripts, you use the same push object that you were used to use for the previous push engine inside of mobile services. By the way, those two things are the only things, pieces of code that you need to write when you want to use notification hubs inside of mobile service. There is no channel stable, there's no inserting in a table, no making sure that things are deduplicated. You just register and push. That is the only thing that you have to do. Now we're going to go a little deeper on what can push do for less obvious scenarios. Right now, we talked about push. We all thinking about a certain team's code or please update the app. There are many, many cases where push is used to really enhance the responsiveness of the app and to really provide a lot more useful information. To do that, though, it's usually a little bit more work because things are not as we cannot make certain assumptions. So in this case, it happens many times that when you're coding apps for employee-facing applications or financial apps or any time that there's sensitive information involved, you want to make sure that tags are secure. What do I mean by that? Is that if I have a tag of a certain organization ID, I want to make sure that only people that are in that organization can actually register for that tag. In order to do so, you basically have to route the registration traffic through your backend and make sure that is what is happening. You cannot have your mobile app contact directly the notification hub and say, yes, I am really in the, C-suite of this particular company. You have to make sure that that specific device has the rights to do it. And also, you want to make sure that everything is flowing through your backend when your backend is modifying the tags. This can happen when basically you have tags that do not depend on the user's preferences, but might depend on other things. Think about a CRM system that is saying that my user has gold status. I might not be on the phone when that happened, but I still want that tag appear for all my devices. So how do you do that? You basically have to your backend needs to have access and a way to add and remove the tags that are from all the devices. This is basically what we said. So how does this work? The first thing that you have to do is to identify your device. Now, when you use the device SDK that Notification Hubs gives you, we do all this for you. So basically, we make sure that the device is identified, that we register in the Notification Hub registry in the correct fashion. When when the call is not coming from the device, but it's coming from our backend, we basically lose that context. So you have to find a way to relay that context to us. Basically, to identify your device, we already said that you cannot use whatever the platform notification service gives you. The device tokens, the channel URIs, the registration IDs, they're not actually IDs for your device. They're transient tokens that can expire, that are not unique. They're not an ID. So in order to do that, Notification Hubs provides you with an ID to identify that specific registration. So basically what happens is that for the first time only, when the app starts, it contacts the Notification Hub and to get one of those IDs. It's like getting a label, a name tag. And then you store this name tag in your local storage. Once you have it in your local storage, that is basically the way that Notification Hubs knows that device is that specific object, is that specific device. And then what happens is that every time you register, this is the same register call that we saw in the previous snapshots. You update your tokens, you update your tags, and it's all the same thing. So effectively, when you're registering from the backend, you have to create these two endpoints in your backend. One to create this label, to create this name tag, and the other one to actually update your registration, update your device token, update your channel URI to make sure that the Notification Hub's registry is updated. In this case, since everything is flowing through your app backend, you can make sure that that specific device is registering only for the tags that he has rights to. So you can use, for instance, Active Directory to make sure that I'm registering only for my user ID tag. And you can make sure that you can also inject other tags. When I'm registering, you can go and query your CRM system and make sure that I have my correct status of like silver, gold, or platinum customer, or my current active orders, or anything that is relevant for your specific scenario. Notice that you're still not storing anything in your app backend. You're not doing device management. You're just making sure that the calls that are going to the Notification Hubs are correctly authorized and authenticated. When you're doing something like this, you should not use the Notification Hub device SDK concurrently, because basically you're going to start creating multiple things. Basically, we're going to have multiple name tags for the same device, and we do not really want to do that. Now, what happens when your backend wants to update tags for a specific device? For instance, like we're saying, now I'm offline. I did not do anything in my app, but I now become like a platinum customer. What happens is that you want to use tags to identify your users. What happens is that you can then retrieve the registrations for all my devices using my user tag. And then you can basically will basically have a whole list of all the devices that I have. I might have like Surface, iPhones, Nexus tablets, and so on. And you can update the tags on all those devices depending on what happened. Note again that you do not have to store any device information in the backend. This is really like one of the most important points. Notification Hubs is managing the devices for you. We do not want you to have to maintain this other like layer of objects in your app. That is one of the complaints that we found a lot when we talk with people that are implementing push notifications, is that all of a sudden they have all this device information when before they were just talking about users. All of this is really, really easy when you're coding with mobile services. Why? Because effectively, when you use mobile services with Notification Hubs, the registrations are already flowing through your backend. So everything that you see here Everything that you see here is already done for you. So the only thing that you want to do is effectively to add your own specific code. You can log in the user in the device. For instance, we just announced integration with AD. You can just log in with AD, and after you're logged in, you register from the device. This is the same call that you're doing before. You do register native, and you pass the channel URI. What happens is that then you can implement the registration callback in your mobile service. So you can just code your specific authentication and authorization code. So in this case, we are injecting the Active Directory user as a tag. And then you push to a tag. So effectively, with this handful lines of code, when you use mobile services, you have a secure tag implementation. All the registrations are flowing through your backend. They are they're authenticated. You're sure that people that are registering for certain tags are authorized to do so. And in your callback, you can do a lot of other things. You can query your Active Directory graph. You can add the manager, you can add the organization ID, you can add many, many tags, and you can basically have you can start like pushing secure push notification in a secure fashion really, really easily. Now, let's talk more about this secure idea. The idea up until now, we've just been sending our payload through the platform notification service. Many app developers don't want to do that. Think about a financial app where you're sending your bank balance, or you're sending like something that is a broker order, or like things that are sensitive. You do not want to send that data through a cloud service. You want to have that data flow only through a secure connection from the device to your backend. Now, there is a way to do this with push. And for the user, it will look exactly like a normal push notifications, but no data will ever go through a cloud service. It will go directly from your backend to the device. This is also a way where you can send like more rich notifications, like if you want to send images or HTML. Why is this the case? Effectively, when you send one notification, you only send an ID or a reference or a URI through the cloud services. When it reaches your mobile device, the mobile device will then contact the backend directly to retrieve that specific content. This is, of course, platform dependent, so how that the app is woken up, that is very much platform dependent. It's very easy to do in Android. There's absolutely no difference. Since Windows Phone 8.1, it can be done with a background task. With Windows Store apps, you need to be a lock screen enabled app. And with iOS, you have to have at least iOS 7. But if in those cases, what you can do is that you can wake up the app, and the app can start processing without showing anything to the user. And can start like basically it can download things from the backend and then show up the actual message that was retrieved from the backend. All the cloud systems did not see anything of the actual notification. A slight variation of this pattern is called push to sync. This is actually like a great scenario that our customer 7Digital is doing to provide a great user experience for their users. 7Digital, for people that are not familiar with it, it's a music app that is popular in Australia and UK. Think about it like as a Spotify alternative. What they do is that they use push to sync, and they use push notifications to keep the playlists and the songs that you have always in sync on all your devices. So this scenarios is, of course, this one. Let's assume that that we have a music app and I have all my favorite songs. What happens is that I might be working and I add a new favorite song on my desktop. They have a web app. It's a great scenario. I add my favorite. Right now, without push to sync, the next time when I leave work and I get my phone and I open my app, it say, hey, I have a new song in my playlist, and it starts downloading it maybe on a sketchy mobile connection when I'm driving away. We don't want to do that. My phone has been like immersed in Wi-Fi for 8 hours at the office. So what happens is that whenever that happens, the backend sends a push notification to the device. The device doesn't show anything. It doesn't have to. But basically, it starts syncing while I'm still at the office, and I did not even open the app. When I open it, I already have all my stuff there. Now, think about, this is like a consumer version. This is like we're talking about musics. But think of using this together with the offline feature that mobile services have. You could have mobile clients that always have what they have to have. So when something happens to the things that I'm following, maybe I'm following a certain account, maybe I'm following, I have like a specific lead that I'm following on a CRM system, I'm following, there are like certain pieces of data that I'm interested in. When those changes, you can send me a push to sync notification and have the app download all the data that's necessary while I still have Wi-Fi connection, and then when I'm offline, I already have all the data. You do not have to enter the app. So push notification is really a great way to have your app responsive. This is what people expect from mobile apps. The best mobile apps are the ones that do not have you wait, because once you open a mobile app, usually you want things right there and then, and you do not have time, you do not have bandwidth, and you need to provide a responsive user experience. This is again platform dependent, like we saw for the secure push case. Let's talk a little bit about telemetry and other aspects for notification hubs. We do have like a portal dashboard where you can see everything that's going on with your notification hubs, how many notifications were sent, if there were errors, what kind of error, sliced by platform, by time, and aggregated by time. And all of those things are also available to you in a programmatic way if you want to react to them or aggregate them in some other ways. Yes? We do not do that. We are working on something like that. If you have a scenario, definitely come chat with me. Yes. So we're probably recording the session. So the question is, does Notification Hubs remembers all the notifications that has been sent? We're actually not doing that right now. We're thinking about that. So right now, if you want to do that, you actually have to maintain your own storage for every user of what is being sent. You have to. This is the thing is that there are some scenarios where this makes sense, but for other scenarios, they're not. So we're actually trying to figure out how to provide this feature for when it makes sense and not waste the resources when it's not required. We, of course, support a very rich way to enforce security. This is very important. We're working a lot with financial apps. You might have lots of organizational constraints. You might have some org inside your some orgs inside the company that is building the mobile apps that are only allowed to register devices, and some other orgs that are only allowed to send notifications. You might want to partition the audience. There might be like multiple apps from the same organization. Think about a financial app that has like the credit card app and the accounts app and so on. With Notification Hubs, we do allow you to to basically slice your audience and your apps in a way that you can provide the correct rights to all these various organizations and divisions inside an organization. And for scale, the guidance for very high scale really depends a lot on the scenario. So if you're sending a lot of targeted notifications, if you're sending one big notifications to 30 million devices, we might have different guidance. For anything that is less than a few millions, do not even bother. Our system is designed to handle like tens of millions of devices. Anything that's less than 5 million the devices, just create one hub and do not worry about performance. We're going to handle that with no problems. For pricing, this is the current pricing. Like I was saying, we responded to your concerns when we had active devices for basic and standard tiers. Right now, we only have an active device limit for the free tier. For basic, we also reduced the price to $20 per unit per month, and that gives you 500,000 pushes per month. And our standard units is $200 per month for unlimited the devices, of course, and 5 million push notifications per month. We are also having a private preview of a new pricing model that is basically only for people that are doing a lot of one-to-one push notifications. If you're doing like more than 300 million push notifications per month in a one-to-one fashion, so only sending like to specific targeted users, please contact us for special pricing. And with this, I'm gonna give the token back to Miranda.
Thanks, Ilya. We just wanted to wrap up by letting you know that, I mean, today you saw the investments we've made over the past year in not just mobile services, but also notification hubs and API management. These are investments that we're going to continue making. You know, is Microsoft invested in providing mobile services that are specific to mobile app development and maintenance? Absolutely. And it's not just across the Azure division. This is something that we're really taking on across divisions, and we're going to continue to invest in. So please, please do let us know what you'd like to see. It's absolutely a commitment that we're making to support these scenarios, and it's something that we're going to continue doing. And it's something that we think is going to hopefully differentiate us amongst other cloud providers, because we know that this is, you know, obviously a mobile-first, cloud-first world. We're all on board. So let us know what you need to see, and we'll do our best. Thank you, guys.